Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. On this week's program, I'd like to start a new series on what is called cancel culture. Now, those of you who are political news junkies, those of you who are political wonks already are familiar with this term, but many people I run into really don't understand what this is about. They know the ideology, they're just not familiar with the label. So to make things simple, let me give you the Wikipedia definition of cancel culture. Wikipedia calls this a neologism, meaning that it's a newly coined phrase that has not yet made it to the dictionaries. So cancel culture is defined as the cultural phenomenon of public shaming, rejecting, and ceasing to provide support to people deemed unacceptable, and calling on others to boycott them. Basically, getting fired for your beliefs or being thrown off of social media. So we all know this is going on, but let's begin with some recent examples. Robert Yuanyu, the CEO of Goya Foods, a company that specializes in Spanish foods, participated in a Hispanic prosperity initiative at the White House. Afterwards, Yuanyu praised President Trump at a Rose Garden press conference. The CEO said, "We are truly blessed to have a leader like President Trump, who's a builder. We have an incredible builder, and we pray for our leadership, our president." Well, the left considers this politically incorrect. For any influential person with Spanish descent to support the president, because the narrative is that Spanish immigrants have to be against the Republican Party and become good Democrats. So immediately, some prominent voices on the left called for a boycott of Goya products. Fortunately, the CEO of Goya wouldn't give in to the cancel culture and apologize. You know, that's just another aspect we need to look into, how so many people are surrendering to the cancel culture by apologizing in order to gain favor with the world. Now, on the political right, the reaction has been a boycott, to go out and buy up all the Goya products on the shelves. You know, one of my sons is pretty politically astute, and he went away for the weekend. So, you know, as a joke, I set up a surprise for him. When he got home, I covered his desk in Goya products. You know, we might as well have some fun with all this chaos. So, in doing some research on this, part of the story here is how this canceling takes place. Congresswoman AOC tweets out about Yuanyu's comments, and she says she is now going to make her own adobo. Nobody would have cared about her tweets, but CNN picks up on the tweet and makes it a news story that there's a controversy against the president and against business leaders who support the president. You know, because the CEO of a Hispanic food company said something nice about the president, this story gets spread. And, you know, this wouldn't have happened just a few years ago, but this is the new cancel culture. What happens is CNN goes out with reporters and they interview prominent opponents of President Trump concerning what they think about Goya's support. Well, of course, it's all going to be negative. And the whole thing is just an excuse to publish another story claiming that people don't like the president. If you're Hispanic, you're not to be in favor of the president. And the media used phrases like the backlash was swift, rash is unleashed, the internet explodes, or the internet is lit up with opposition against Goya. But it's just a few internet trolls and Democrats who don't support the president anyway. So rather than the story being a positive story that President Trump is having a Hispanic prosperity initiative, the news media finds a way to criticize it. So one of the things we learn about the cancel culture is that it is driven by the leftist media. The media decides who it wants to empower with a news story and who it wants to discredit. You know, this is not journalism, but this is political activism and propaganda. The media would not have so much power, of course, if it weren't for the people in the broader culture who listen. So I don't want to just blame the media. But it is true that there are a few wealthy social media leaders who are promoting the leftist spirit of the age. I'll eventually get to that subject concerning who's behind the cancel culture and why. But let me just give a few more examples. Neil Golightly, a Boeing executive, communication chief, resigned last week after an employee complained about an article he wrote 33 years ago arguing that women should not serve in combat roles. A few points here. First, who is this employee who is so offended by this article, as if people cannot have different opinions from them? These crybabies in the cancel culture are claiming that they have been harmed mentally and physically by the opinions of others. But what is really happening is they are saying these things to be politically active. Second, rather than standing up, Neil Golightly makes an apology like most people today. Quote from Golightly, "My article was a misguided contribution to a debate that was alive at the time. My argument was embarrassingly wrong and offensive. The article is not a reflection of who I am." And you hear that all the time. It's not who I am. "But nonetheless, I have decided that in the interest of the company, I will step down." Third, someone might say, "He wasn't canceled, he resigned." Well, we know how this works. The company pressures you to resign. And Neil Golightly, if you look at his bio, he was ready for retirement anyway. He did not need this job with Boeing. And I'm finding that this is a significant factor in the cancel culture and these apologies. The baby boom generation is retiring en masse. We are in a baby boomer retirement crisis. In the next 5 years, 15 to 20 million baby boomers will retire. And a lot of these people don't want to make any waves. They just want to get their pensions and they want to get out. Get out of all of the nonsense in the teaching profession, in law enforcement, in government, and in corporations. You know, I talk to these people all the time and they just want out. And unfortunately, they'll go along to get along so they can make it until retirement. And this gives the cancel culture power. When people put their own security and comfort and their future above doing what's right. Here's another story. Gary Gorelz, longtime senior curator of painting and sculpture at the San Francisco Museum of Modern Art, has resigned after coming under fire for saying the museum will still collect works from white artists. So here's a man who said he would be non-discriminatory. He would feature art from any person. He wasn't going to engage in what is called reverse discrimination. He said, "You've got this huge mountain you're scaling to get to parity, to get to balance. It's going to take a lot of time. I've reassured artists we will continue to collect white men. There's a lot of great women artists, but there's still a lot of good men out there working as well." Well, for the woke culture, which is all about racism and finding your identity in the color of your skin, that was offensive. Because to be woke, the museum needs to engage in affirmative action for black artists and get rid of all the art from white people. This way, white people can make atonement for their white privilege. So Gorelz offended some people and he had to resign. Quote, "I deeply and personally apologize to all of you for any hurt I may have caused." And Gorelz is in his 60s. Another baby boomer who is ready to retire anyway, just wants out. Then there is Barry Weiss, who had to resign from the New York Times after, quote, "being bullied by colleagues over her views. They have called me a Nazi and a racist." And she is not a right-wing conservative. She's just a moderate. Quote, "She is leaving the gray lady, saying she was bullied by colleagues in an illiberal environment, weeks after declaring there is a civil war inside the paper." She said, quote, "I don't understand how toxic behavior is allowed inside the newsroom, and showing up for work as a centrist at an American newspaper should not require bravery." She also said something I just referred to, that the paper follows the leftist trolls on Twitter. Quote from Weiss, "Twitter is not the masthead of the New York Times, but social media acts as the ultimate editor." And at the beginning of this month, James Bennett had to resign as the New York Times chief opinion editor because some of the staff was enraged that he allowed in the New York Times an editorial by the Republican Senator Tom Cotton. And in that editorial, Cotton explained why he believed federal law enforcement should be used to stop rioting. Now, the Wall Street Journal will allow all sorts of conservative commentary on the editorial page, but not the New York Times. The New York Times is now pushing a message of the far left, and it believes that opinions on the right need to be silenced and canceled. It's not a newspaper. New York Times is propaganda for the left. Also, last week, Andrew Sullivan had to resign from New York Times Magazine. Sullivan wrote, "A critical mass of staff and management at New York Times Magazine and Fox Media no longer want to associate with me. And in a time of ever-tightening budgets, I am a luxury item they don't want to afford. And that's entirely their prerogative. They seem to believe, and this is increasingly the orthodoxy in mainstream media, that any writer not actively committed to critical theory and questions of race, gender, sexual orientation, and gender identity is actively physically harming coworkers merely by existing in the same virtual space. Actually, attacking and even mocking critical theory ideas and methods, as I have done continually in this space, is therefore out of sync with the values of Vox Media. That, to the best of my understanding, is why I am out of here." So, those are just a few examples of the cancel culture. I have a dozen other examples, but I can share that next week. You know, each of these examples describe a different aspect of the cancel culture. So, what's really going on here? My first reaction is that what we have here is reverse biblical separation. You know, as our culture begins to support evil, as we read in Isaiah chapter 5, evil is being called good and good is being called evil. The righteous are now being canceled and the ungodly are being promoted. You know, 40 years ago, you would be canceled in the culture for supporting homosexuality. Now you are canceled for not supporting homosexuality. Just 10 years ago, you'd be canceled if you supported transgenderism, if you claimed that there's no such thing between a boy or a girl. You were laughed at. Now, today, if you don't support transgenderism, you're a pariah. Hal Berry just had to apologize to the cancel culture for considering taking a role as a transgender man, because that would be cultural appropriation, apparently. So the part has to be played by an actual woman who claims to be a man. Barry apologized on Twitter. "Over the weekend, I had the opportunity to discuss my considerations of an upcoming role as a transgender man, and I'd like to apologize for those remarks. As a cisgender woman, I now understand that I should not have considered this role, and that the transgender community should undeniably have the opportunity to tell their own stories. I am grateful for the guidance and the critical conversation over the past few days, and I will continue to listen, educate, and learn from this mistake. I vow to be an ally, to use my voice to promote better representation on screen, both in front and behind the cameras." So she let herself be re-educated by the LGBTQ crowd. And here's another point about the cancel culture. Those who give in to the cancel culture are those who get their values and believe values come from man. For them, what is right is what people think, rather than the Christian Western value that people's opinions are irrelevant. We don't get our morals from the values of people. We don't get our morals from the 51% of the vote. We don't get them from those who yell the loudest and complain the most. We are to get our values from God's natural law. Well, because the source of truth has changed from God to man, the cancel culture exists and has power. The canceling of God's natural law would never have gotten traction in Christian America, but now the most evil, deviant people have taken control. The base false teachers described in Jude and in 2 Peter, those who indulge in the flesh in its corrupt desires and despise authority, daring, self-willed, reviling where they have no knowledge. And here's another point. I'm finding in my reading that most of the cancel culture is coming from the LGBTQ community. But again, this is reverse biblical separation. Christians and the Christian culture do not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the paths of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. We all know that text, that's Psalm chapter 1. But the converse is also true. The ungodly do not want to walk in the counsel of the godly, nor stand in the paths of the righteous, nor sit in the seat of the wise. They want us out of their culture. Now, separation from the wicked is biblical. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 14. If anyone does not obey our instruction in this letter, take special note of that person and do not associate with him so that he will be put to shame. Titus chapter 3, verse 10. Reject a factious man after the first and second warnings. Romans chapter 16, verse 17. Now I urge you, brethren, keep your eye on those who cause dissensions and hindrances contrary to the teaching which you have learned, and turn away from them. Or 2 John verses 9 through 11. Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ doesn't have God. The one who abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house and do not give him a greeting. For the one who gives him a greeting participates in his evil deeds. And also remember the church of Pergamum, Revelation chapter 2. The condemnation was that there are some who hold to the teaching of Balaam and the teaching of the Nicolaitans, and also the church of Thyatira was condemned for tolerating within their ranks the woman Jezebel. So this is called the doctrine of separation, which unfortunately many Christian institutions and denominations have failed to practice. And that's why, you know, the wolves in sheep's clothing have come in and taken over a lot of the mainline denominations. Now, biblical separation does make a distinction between the unsaved and professing Christians. You know, as Paul points out in 1 Corinthians 5, there is a different way of practicing separation in regard to believers and unbelievers. 1 Corinthians 5, 9 through 10, I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with immoral people. I didn't mean with the immoral people of this world or with the covetous or swindlers or with idolaters. Then you'd have to go out of this world. But I actually wrote to you not to associate with any so-called brother if he is an immoral person or a covetous man or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or swindler, not even to eat with such a one. So biblical separation is not the Amish practice of shunning. It is not monasticism. We are to eat and drink with sinners when it comes to reaching people for Christ. But at the same time, we're not to support evil among the unsaved. I mean, Americans should be appalled if Nazis or communists are teaching in our public universities. Pedophiles and transgenders should be canceled. The Christian actor Terry Crews just tweeted out, defund Pornhub. You know, notice Crews was one of the individuals I mentioned last week who in an interview with Don Lemon said he wouldn't support BLM. Notice how his new birth and his biblical worldview informs what he believes ought to be canceled. But is he part of the cancel culture because he calls for the defunding of Pornhub? No, sin needs to be canceled. And it's good for a nation to have social pressure to do what's right. It's naive to think that the answer to the cancel culture is that we just need to live in an amoral world where no value judgments are made and everyone's accepted. That state of affairs would actually be a cancel culture against righteousness. You'd be canceled if you weren't tolerant of sin. This is called the myth of neutrality. That the answer is pluralism, that the answer is everything needs to be accepted, but that by default would mean the support of evil. So understand that it is not the concept of canceling that Christians are against. It's a matter of what is being canceled. I mean, even God cancels Satan. On this topic, notice this response or argument from the left to justify their cancel culture headline, "The Goya boycott isn't an example of cancel culture. It's the free market at work." And Charles Blow, a leftist at the New York Times, tweeted out, "Once more, there is no such thing as cancel culture. There's free speech. You can say and do as you please, and others can choose never to deal with you, your company, or your products ever again. The rich and powerful are just upset that the masses can now organize their dissent." Well, this is very disingenuous, because he's trying to skirt the whole moral issue here of ostracizing other people for their moral positions by simply calling it a matter of free speech. Well, of course it's free speech, but the issue is the morality of that speech. Is it righteous speech or unrighteous speech? That's the issue. And there's a righteous cancel culture and there is an unrighteous cancel culture. Here's another point. This whole thing reminds me of the American Family Association. It was founded in 1977 by Don Wilmot. It used to be called the National Federation of Decency. It's headquartered in Mississippi. It's part of the American Family Radio Network. And back through the 1970s to the 90s, the AFA used to promote boycotts against certain companies or products that supported leftist causes. The AFA used to research companies that funded Planned Parenthood and target them for boycotts. But think about this. The culture has so changed that if the AFA was promoting a boycott today, it wouldn't have much of an effect. The moral majority boycotts in the 1970s would not have much of an effect today, because Hollywood and companies and institutions are not afraid of moral Christians canceling them. They're afraid of the left, because now the left appears to control the money and the narrative. The left either actually now has the power to cancel, or they're given that power by the media. So instead, today, we have groups like Media Matters. That's a leftist group that started to use the same tactics as the AFA, but to target conservatives. Media Matters tries to get advertisers to drop conservative programs. And the Southern Poverty Law Center does the same thing. But here's the question. Was it wrong to practice cancel culture against the ungodly by the AFA? Did the AFA set a bad precedent? Well, at that time, I didn't put much hope in AFA's methods, because if you have to promote boycotts to change the culture, you've already lost the culture. Leftists are already running the show, and you're not going to scare them into righteousness by taking away some of their corporate earnings. But in principle, there is really nothing wrong in supporting the righteous and avoiding the wicked. That's 1 Corinthians 10. Yes, you can eat meat sold in the marketplace from the temples. But remember, the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to become sharers in demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons. And remember this general principle in 2 Corinthians 6:14. Do not be bound together with unbelievers, for what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness, or what fellowship has light with darkness? So even though, you know, I may not promote boycotts, when I discover a certain company supports the left, whether that be Nike or Starbucks, I tend to avoid purchasing those products. I mean, that's just common sense. So a righteous culture in general would have a righteous cancel culture. Like in Judges 19, when Israel canceled the tribe of Benjamin for their immorality. But the point is this. Now the ungodly crowd is practicing separation toward the righteous. And it means the persecution of the righteous. Just like ancient Israel in her apostasy. In the Old Testament, we read in the Law of Moses that Israel was supposed to cancel false teachers. Deuteronomy 13, if anyone comes along and says, "Let us go after other gods," they were to be put to death. If a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises among you saying, "Let us go after other gods whom you have not known and let us serve them," you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to find out if you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. But that prophet or dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he has counseled rebellion against the Lord your God. That is a righteous cancel culture. But Israel in her apostasy, when she was given over to Baal worship, guess who was put to death? The true prophets of the Lord. Acts chapter 7. Which one of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? They killed those who had previously announced the coming of the righteous one, whose betrayers and murderers you have now become. You have received the laws ordained by angels and yet did not keep it. Israel did the opposite of the law. They canceled the true spokespersons of God. Now, some might say, well, maybe neither Baal worshipers or Jehovah worshipers should have been canceled or persecuted. They both should have gotten along together. Well, this is the Old Covenant, where the role of the theocratic state is somewhat different than today. But in principle, even today, the state needs to cancel evil. The priests of Baal practice child sacrifice. Murderers need to be judged by righteous magistrates, and the state needs to be an avenger against those who do evil. So here is what we should know about the cancel culture. It is not the canceling that is the problem. It is what is being canceled. And I'll pick up this subject next week. We need to look at more examples of the cancel culture, how it's described in the Bible, and how to defeat it. But let me close with a few points here. First, this is the beginning of persecution against God's people. It first starts in the general culture, in the general public, and then it becomes the practice of the state. Second, these people doing the cancel culture are described in the Bible as those who justify the wicked and condemn the righteous. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 15, "He who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the righteous, both of them alike are an abomination to the Lord." And Proverbs 28, 4, "Those who forsake the law praise the wicked, but those who keep the law strive with them." Those verses describe the cancel culture to a T. And Jesus warned that it is better to have a rock tied around your neck and be thrown into the depths of the sea than to offend one of God's little ones. Or how about Ezekiel 13:22? "Because you disheartened the righteous with falsehood, when I did not cause him grief, but have encouraged the wicked not to turn from his wicked way and preserve his life." You better not be supporting evil and canceling the people of God and truth. And what is being canceled by the culture is God's morals, God's ways, and ultimately God himself. This is Isaiah chapter 8, verse 21. "They will be enraged, and they will curse their king and their God." Proverbs chapter 19, verse 3. "The foolishness of man ruins his way, and his heart rages against the Lord." And this is Psalm chapter 2. "Let us tear God's fetters apart and cast away his cords from us." And what these people want, they will get. If you cancel God, God will let you go. You can go out from the presence of the Lord. You can start your own city like Cain. If you cancel God, God will cancel you. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, because you have rejected me, I will reject your children. The doctrine of hell has often been explained as the ungodly eventually receiving what they want, a life without God. In the words of C.S. Lewis, heaven is this ever-increasing, further up, further into joy, into God, into life. Hell is the opposite of that. It is an everlasting movement away from God. Quote, in the long run, the answer to all those who object to the doctrine of hell is itself a question. What are you asking God to do? To wipe out your past sins and at all costs to give you a fresh start? Smooth every difficulty and offer every miraculous help? But he has done so at Calvary. Or are you asking God to leave you alone? Alas, I am afraid that is what he will do for you. The damned are, in one sense, successful rebels to the end. They get what they want. The doors of hell are locked on the inside. They enjoy forever the horrible freedom they have demanded and are therefore self-enslaved. So be careful what you cancel. Like ancient Israel, you may be throwing out of your nation and putting on the cross the very one who loves you and wants to see you saved. So rather than canceling God and his truth, my prayer for you is the Holy Spirit does a miracle in your life so that you become a lover of God and truth. Thank you for participating in this week's Bible study. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a comment below. I'll share the program with a friend just to spread the news and the truth. May Jesus Christ reign.